Truth with Tony Schaefer, powered by Six Hour, Never Settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. You should carry something that is also representative of being true to yourself and the best. The best is Sig Sauer. So I had a choice. You have a choice. I would exercise my choice as I did in combat and buy Sig Sauer. They are amazing in every aspect. Never, ever settle. We are on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, also available on the America Podcast Network. Check us out, Project Sentinel, projectsentinel.com and .net. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, etc. And also on our website, thehardtruthwithtony.com. That's thehardtruthwithtony.com. You can check out all our stuff that we got going on there, and obviously our sponsors and everything. So today, oh, and by the way, a quick shout out to Cherie Curry. Cherie was on the show last week. She is chainsawchick.com. She does chainsaw art, amazing stuff. And of course, she does, as an amazing musical artist, our bumper and theme music. Without further ado, I'm bringing in our guest this week, Dave Wallace. Dave is a friend of mine. Dave has been around the policy world for a long time. Friend of the center, both the London Center and Project Sentinel. And most importantly, Dave is running for Congress. So Dave, welcome to The Hard Truth.
Well, thanks for having me on. And yes, I am. It's an open seat. It's a winnable seat. And with my policy background, I hope to bring some reason, some sanity, where we have strictly insanity in Washington, and it's spreading across the country. And that's why I'm running, because I love America, and America is my home, and there's no place like America.
Yeah. So, Dave, let's go through that a little bit. One of the things I want the audience to understand is this is not a new endeavor for you. So many folks who jump into politics, I think, have great intentions, but no skill set. You've been around for a long time. You've been on Capitol Hill. You've been in the seminars and discussions we've had. So tell us a little bit about your background, why what you're doing and who you are. You're uniquely suited to jump right in with effective leadership. Anybody can say, well, I get a good idea, but it's about being effective, right?
Absolutely. It requires that you have certain skills that started, first of all, as I said, my love for America. That's the predicate upon everything which builds my ability and my desire to take this seat. The second thing is that I believe in our Judeo-Christian values. Upon that philosophy, of course, we have a secular government. Now, once we look at that, then you say, well, Dave, are you fluff or do you have some stuff? Am I made from the right stuff, as people might say? So I have a degree in biology. As a representative of someone from the field of biology, I love life. I worked at NIH in immunological cancer research after graduating with honors in my field, especially in more of the medical area. I worked in immunological cancer research. And that first part, immunological, is really important because I saw through the lies that were provided, especially during COVID. And I immediately took exception to what Anthony Fauci was doing, what he was saying, his interactions, and his duplicity when he would say things in 2008, 2009, and then he literally forgot what he had said or intentionally lied about what he had said in the past about therapeutics, that he knew therapeutics were going to be effective and we needed to have those prepared. Beside that, after I worked there, I started my business of 42 years. I'm right now in the 43rd year of my business, and I'm an entrepreneur. People who have signed the front of a paycheck, who understand the taxes that are going in and coming out of employees' paychecks, coming out of businesses, we realize that we have to do better. We have to go and reduce taxation on the American public. As much as people think and argue on the elitist establishment, and they believe that we need to be taxed more. We actually have to cut taxes. So I believe in making sure that I let everyone know running for this office that I have pledged using the model of Americans for Tax Reform. And I've seen you there and we've both spoken there.
Big time.
The one thing that I want everybody to know is that pledge means two things. One, you're never going to raise taxes. But if you plan on raising any fees or anything else, you have to also cut so we don't have an increase. So am I for tariffs to protect and start to rebuild our American industrial base? Yes. And at the same time, I would love to see us reduce taxes dollar for dollar and even more so. With studies that have been made, Tony, we see that with pennies on the dollar wages from China, in combination with their endless supply of labor, that they can take jobs from Americans every single day. And yet, if tariffs are applied, and this is important for Americans to know, every one of the people in the second congressional district who have lost jobs to China, who worked at Bethlehem Steel, Sparrows Point, General Motors, and all of the imports that are coming in, flooding into our country, destroying our arsenal of democracy, we have to see that the United States stands tall for the American worker, average individual Americans who just need a good paying job, not based on a minimum wage law, but based on good hard work that produces value for our society. And well, the Chinese are taking advantage of us.
Let's talk about and break down the value, which is something that I don't think everybody fully comprehends how the left is destroying the value of labor. And it's not just the Chinese. So let's go through this a little bit. And you brought up taxes. So let's start with taxes. The federal government, any government, does not produce anything. Right, Dave? They don't
produce anything. Absolutely zero. They only take.
Right. So that's my point. So anything that relates to government takes from the private sector and citizens. That's it. That they have no other inherent source of income. Can the federal government generate things from fees and licenses? Yeah. But that's a form, in my judgment, of taxation. It's all taxation. Anything the government does is taxation. Can they sell things off? Well, maybe. I mean, technically, they can sell off federal land and they can sell off, stuff that they produce, but they take it back. They never make a profit. The government has no desire or design to make profit, which means it's a constant drain on productivity. Am I correct about that, Dave?
Absolutely. And worse, when they don't tax for the spending, it increases inflation. And those people who are too ashamed to say they're for higher taxes when the spending increases and the monetary, the Federal Reserve goes and eases up on monetary policy, that is a hidden tax. Inflation is purely a hidden tax for the cowards in Washington who want to spend our money, but they're afraid to raise taxes because they want to hold on to their jobs.
Well, no, I get that. And this is where I think there needs to be a huge departure like you're proposing regarding just saying we're going to stop. So part of my issue is with taxation, Dave, and you can correct me if you think I'm way over the top here, but there's been no link. There's been zero link between appropriation of funds, taxation, and government spending. There's no link. You cannot look at a dollar which is appropriated, taxed, and point it to a program it goes to within the federal government, because the federal government essentially just prints money at this point. There's no need, in my judgment, because the policy at this point is to print money, to basically expand the amount of currency available to America, which devalues a currency. The more you produce currency, the more you devalue it. There's really no need for taxation, because essentially it's harassment on citizens, because the federal government has decided as a matter of policy, and all the politicians go along both sides, we're just going to print money. We're not actually going to live within a budget. And so to me, it's taxation at this point is harassment. What do you think that's
the extreme
view?
Well, I fully agree with you. There's nothing to disagree with you on. I do want to mention to you that right now we have a group of people who believe in modern monetary policy, and they were looking at it where no matter how much you spend, they can just print that money and the cost is going to stay down. But we know that inflation is sky high.
Yeah.
And if the one thing a lot of people aren't aware of, we had different measures of inflation over time. And in 1983, right after the Carter debacle, the whole entire manner of measurement of inflation was changed. So when we look at inflation today, which is a form of taxation hidden in the cost of all the goods, we realize that when we were seeing that 8.5% inflation back at the peak of the inflation cycle after COVID, the measure of inflation, if measured based on prior to 1983 calculations, was 16 to 18%. These are the things that Americans see when they go grocery shopping, when they look at the cost of fuel, when they look at the cost of an automobile, and they look at the cost of housing. And those critical drivers are those things that Americans have to pay for today or not pay for because they've been squeezed out of the system where they can afford to buy a new home. And it's not just taxation, it's regulation. When we regulate the ability to utilize property for our best interests, and governments put overlays on states, put overlays, counties put overlays, not that certain kinds of rules on land use don't add value to some communities, but we've gone way over the top with these things. Yeah. So now we have a housing shortage. People are living on the streets because they can't afford rent. They can't afford any type of housing. And we are ignoring these problems. And one of the things you said about spending, it's very important that our listeners know today, 72% of all appropriations, all spending is on autopilot. Only 28% of the spending can be adjusted year in and then year out. The rest is on autopilot and everybody's afraid to touch it because it's a golden cow.
Yes. So let's hit that real quick. So I want to continue the discussion of value of labor, but that's a good turn to take real quick. So when you talk about the fact that so much of the economy is on autopilot, one of the notable things that I've talked about publicly a number of times is the need to sunset laws, period. All laws should be sunset. There should be no indefinite.
Absolutely.
Once a law is passed, it should be have a lifespan of, 5 years, 10 years, but nothing indefinite, because to your
even as short as three. And I'll tell you why, Tony.
The point is, Dave, that any amount of oversight that relates to restrictions or appropriate anything else, anything the federal government does, it should be essentially limited by a time frame that is reasonable. That basically you just can't say, oh yeah, we're going to give 7% per year growth to every federal bureaucracy. To me, that's dangerous. It's stupid. And it goes against the very values that the founding fathers established for the country, to be frugal, to be focused and free. And I would argue that this administrative state, the unlimited spending to support the administrative state, diminishes freedoms constantly. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
It's purely accurate. I want to mention Tom Coburn did a study, and we talk about the quote programs. He found that about 180 programs were hidden in various departments and agencies that were creating spending that were out of control. Nobody had done that analysis, that assessment, to see how many were there. Now, that's a lot. Well, lo and behold, they kept digging. They found almost another 20. So now you're over 200 of these spending bills. And quite often, they've actually had in them sunset clauses. So one of the things I want to do, and I've been talking about this for quite a few years, that we bring in under the review and Congress's responsibility to oversee the executive branch, that we must absolutely bring in the heads of these departments, the heads of these individual segments, and ask them what their purpose is and what is their score.
Yeah.
And if we have to, we'll source it out, but we need their assessment on whether or not they've been able to bring down that spending because they've helped people off of these welfare programs.
Right. So I want to touch on that real quick, but I still want to get back on the value of labor in a second. I spend a lot of time, as you know, Dave, overseas doing intelligence stuff and special operations stuff. So one of the countries I spent some time in is New Zealand. And New Zealand is a beautiful country. I mean, it's been kind of infected by socialists recently.
Yes.
We'll stay out of that discussion for now. But I did want to point out that as a nation, a sovereign nation, a former member of the Commonwealth, they're kind of part of the British Commonwealth still, kind of, whatever exists there. But if you wanted to immigrate, if I say tomorrow I wanted to immigrate to New Zealand, I couldn't immigrate. I would not be permitted because there's three things required to become a immigrant in New Zealand. First, you have to have a skill set that they want. You can't just show up and say, oh, hey, you guys are cool. I want to be part of you. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to be validated to have a skill set that they think they would want and would enrich their society. Secondly, you can't be a criminal, which is fine. You know, I mean, one of the things notable, obviously, right now is that we will allow criminal aliens in as long as they're not felons. And as a matter of fact, most of the folks that come in some regard, there's no screening, so you don't even know. So that's another thing New Zealand requires. And the third thing, which is notable to the overall trajectory of our discussion, you've got to have a year's worth of income saved up. You're not going to live off of New Zealand. You're going to have to pay your own way. They don't give you, come in and we're going to pay you. So you have to demonstrate and show them your bank account, say, hey, even if I don't have a job yet, I can sustain myself. So do you think those are racist requirements, Dave?
Absolutely not. It's something that the United States has to adopt.
Yeah.
Because what happens is we're constantly paying for people who are coming in and then falling into the dole because whoever they may have had sponsored isn't sponsoring them. But
right.
This is specifically talking about illegal aliens and the massive invasion that's coming in from multiple places, primarily from our southern border. And these people who come in have no skill sets. They have no savings. They quite often are being brought in by mules. Their lives are being destroyed. And when it comes to compassion, there's no compassion in allowing people to come into the United States illegally, because quite often you'll see the circumstances where tests have been done on young girls on the young age of about 8 years old and up, and they've been raped multiple times. And when rape tests are done, they will find multiple semen samples in these poor girls.
Yeah, no, I know.
Been raped over and over and over and over again during their whole entire journeys, even just before they come into the United States.
No, it's a travesty.
These men who are bringing, they say, well, it's my daughter. And yet they'll find that there is no relationship. I could say worse, but there's no relationship of parentage between the children being brought into this United States and the men who are coming in. So this is a huge, huge problem. And I went to the southern border on multiple occasions, but my biggest trek to the Rio Grande Valley and Rio Grande City was back in 2022. January 1st through about January 5th. And I was there and I saw partially built walls. I saw the Texas government trying to complete them. And you would see spotters on the other side of the Rio Grande River where they would specifically pretend they were fishing while there were the Texas Army National Guard on the river on the U.S. side. Yep. And they can't fire on anybody coming across, even if it's a group of military-aged men.
So, well, that's going to be something I think Trump's going to have to address. And I think a lot of us, I know I speak out about it all the time, how I do believe that the measures in the Southwest border, from everything from soldiers not being armed or members of the National Guard not being armed to the potential use of deadly force to interdict in Mexico, not in the U.S., activities which I think relate directly to drug cartels and terrorists. I think that we are courting disaster. We are just simply leaving our door open for another 9/11 attack. But I digress.
Absolutely.
I want to get back on the issue of labor. So one of the other things that, going back to the Southwest border, so to speak, Dave, that relates to what we're talking about regarding jobs, one of the things that even the old left recognize, people like Bernie Sanders, is that, the more you import people who are willing to work for next to nothing, the more you devalue labor. When you devalue labor, you actually undermine, can I say the word, unions? So the very unions the left says that they promote, that they want to support and actually, we want to have good paying jobs. Dave, what they're doing fundamentally destroys unions. Do you agree or disagree with me on?
Well, today's union leaders care very little about the union workers. They care more about how they can line their pockets while the union workers are continually diminished in numbers and our jobs are pushed overseas, including to Mexico. So the whole premise of a union and its leadership is to protect the union workers, and that's been a failure. But you're absolutely right. When you see all of this flood of labor coming into the United States, not just from Mexico, not just from Central America, not just from South America, but from all over the world, these obviously put great strains on our ability for those that are especially low-skilled workers to be able to get these jobs. So it obviously diminishes their ability to provide for themselves, provide for a future family or a current family, and to be productive citizens.
So, Dave, but we're winding down to end the first half of the show today. But let's talk about that a bit, because the fundamental problem I have with the left, the current left, is that and the very people they say they support, they're the first ones that get hurt. I mean, look at the inflation. We've talked about inflation caused by a number of things today. Look at the cost of living overall. Look at the way they've endangered the safety of inner cities. By the way, Dave, did you notice that Baltimore, New York, Detroit, all these big cities are the ones, the sanctuary cities, that's where all this crime goes, right? Very people who vote Democrats in are the ones being victimized by it. Why would you do that? Why would you vote for the people who abuse you?
There's a psychological blindness that people have. And when you hear the main news organizations out there constantly blaming somebody who was in office when we had a much smaller number of people coming into the United States and they were held. You know, one thing I want to mention to you, Tony, and it's very important before we get off this segment. I run Fair Energy Foundation. I've been running it since 2018. I started.
Yeah, I want to talk about that second half of the show, please.
We have a model that would literally pay dividends while we shut down illegal immigration.
So let's talk about that.
It's called the USMCZ. But relative to wages, as soon as you create inflation, you never can see wages sustain to the level of the inflation rate. So the American public's cost of living goes up and their wages continually may go up a little bit, but they never can meet the level of attainment of that the inflation rate gives us. And then, as I said earlier, these false numbers that the federal government's putting out. And then even when it comes to labor participation rate, we see that constantly, 2 months, 3 months out, they're adjusting numbers of jobs created, even on the inflation rate. And the inflation rate is always estimated up when it's not in the news cycle, but month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. That's when they give you the numbers that give you a much more clear.
No, the revisions are very clearly done. I posted on Twitter the other day. I encourage people to go check out my Twitter on that. So anyway, we've got to take a break. Dave, we're going to be come back on the second part of the show. I want to hear more about your concept relating to the illegal alien issue and your business and how we can how that all will work. But before we go, I want to do a shout out and discuss one of our new sponsors, Swiss America. Swiss America it has some great services and products. So I want you all to check it out. One of the things I recommend is you get their publication, The Secret War on Cash. One of the things notable, and we've been talking about, Dave and I have been talking about the devaluation of money. One of the things you do is you want to have resources available. Cash is still a big commodity. So when you are looking at your hard-earned dollar and the rising cost of living and increasing pressure to go cashless, you need to know all the facts. So the growing war on cash is something you need to understand. So call now to get a book from Swiss America, The War on Cash. Call 800-289-2646. Again, call 800-289-2646. Get the free report, The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. Discover how to take a few simple steps now to prevent catastrophic results later and create peace of mind. So again, and be sure and mention the show, mention The Hard Truth. Secret War on Cash, Swiss America. You need to check it out. 800-289-2646. Again, 800-289-2646. And get your own copy of their report, Secret War on Cash. Anyway, that's it for the first half of The Hard Truth. We're going to be right back after this brief intermission.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hey, this is the Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer. Still powered by Sig Sauer, never settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. I recommend you carry the best. The best is Sig Sauer, never settle. What about? I've got my old dependable M18, the my M18 version from Sig Sauer. One of my favorite carry weapons. I highly recommend it. This has got the AXG aluminum frame. Never settle. You know, for those watching, you can see I'm ready to grab it. So anyway, back now, part two of the show with Dave Walsh. Not that I'm grabbing it because Dave's here, because he's not. But anyway,
we're on the same team.
That's right. So we're always the same be prepared. Team. So anyway, and we're joined by this in the second half by the exquisite Elizabeth Breckenkamp and the eponymous Chris Cordani. So
hey-o.
Hey-o.
Did he call you
hippopotamus? Hello, Chris.
No, he's not.
Hello, I'm a hungry one. I'm a hungry, hungry hippopotamus.
That could be, well, you know, I could say something and it would get me in so much trouble, but I'm not going.
That was a good game. I liked that.
Yeah. So did you ever play it for drinking, a drinking game version of it? You can do it with drinking.
No.
You should try
I played that when I was like 8 years old. Yeah, that's no.
Well, you could take shots at 8 years old. I know people.
She didn't start drinking until she was 12. So she wrote out of Hungry Hippos.
I started drinking when I was 12. How did you
that's
know
right.
that?
So we're back. With part Dave Wallace is still here. Dave is still running for Congress, unless we got him kicked out of that. I don't know if it's possible or not.
Oh boy!
Oh boy. No.
So Dave, before the break, you were we're going to go right in with everybody else here in a second. But you were talking about your company and what some of the concepts of what you think you could do. So go ahead and go through that. It's an your energy company. So just talk about it. We will promote the link and everything to it.
Well, the Fair Energy Foundation.
Fair Energy Foundation.
Say again?
No, Fair Energy Foundation.
Oh, absolutely. Fair Energy Foundation. And one of the gentlemen who became part of our council of advisors, God rest his soul, was Herb London.
Yeah.
And we have a multiple number of people who are across the spectrum, both economists as well as energy economists as well, policy people, but then also people that are specifically in the energy industry. And I speak to these people on a regular basis, some more than others on a more frequent basis. But one of the things that we promote is the acronym FAIR, F-A-I-R, Free Markets, Abundant Energy, International Focus, Rule of Law. And the most important element of the United States free market model, besides all of the other constitutional protections of the United States citizen, is property rights, is the property rights rule that extends to mineral rights. So many countries around the world will look at property rights strictly on the surface or just deep enough to plow the soil. Whereas in the United States, in almost every state, minus two, that where there's an absolute prohibition today, the minerals that are so important to our energy needs, oil, natural gas, and coal are available to average Americans. And that's like money growing on a money tree.
Yeah.
And it's one of the biggest elements that have helped drive our economy. Even during the gold rush, Americans were able to find that gold. And even at the end of the gold rush, there was gold because of our free markets. So even when the gold rush was over, we still had the same barrel companies, the same shovel companies that they started to obviously proliferate. And in every single one of these, it's a driver of our industrial capacity. And energy in the modern world is the driver of our modern industrial society. Mm-hmm. And today we're seeing it killed. So one of the biggest things that we have to do is to fight back against the nonsense of climate change hysteria.
Yeah.
When we see people around the world, for instance, in Kenya and some of these other African countries, as well as the intermittent energy throughout South America, we see our International Monetary Fund, our SEC, all trying to restrict the production of fossil fuel energy, which is not intermittent, it's instantaneous. We saw what happened in Texas when we had the cold snap.
Oh, yeah.
And when we saw all of those windmills shut down, when we saw those cloudy days and solar energy wasn't effectively producing any energy, because all of the electrical grid shut down, people died. Over 100 people died right here in the United States in one cold snap. A friend of mine told me how she was looking out and saw a coroner's van come to a house of an elderly neighbor, and they wheeled her out on a gurney with a cover over her face because she froze to death. In the United States of America, we are turning in, based on our energy imbalance, where we're relying so much on these intermittent energy sources, so many blackouts around the country that are disrupting human lives, disrupting business. And speaking of the value of work, the work that would otherwise be produced from that electricity is not being produced. And Americans are seeing this in the cost of their electrical bills, the cost of their fuel to run their trucks, to get goods to service, run the tractors that are in the fields that produce our food, and especially fertilizer, which is driven especially by our fossil fuel industry, natural gas. And what happens is, if we want to look at a balance, if we want to look at an equilibrium, the only way you can look at it in a fossil fuel free world is on the backs of the American people and all the people around the earth, as well as in our industrial capacity. And that is favoring China and India, who have no restrictions on their energy production. It's also causing about 3 billion people around the world, besides the impacts we're already having, to not even have access to these fossil fuels.
Right. So let's break it down, because I think people need to understand that there's three things that are at play here. First, fossil fuels are not fossil fuels. They're actually hydrocarbons generated by the internal processes of the planet. We're not going to run out. They are they actually regenerate.
So, absolutely, they do.
So the first thing people need to understand is that that's a complete myth. There used to be this thing called peak oil that we're going to run out. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So we're good on that. Secondly, fossil fuels produce today, modern fossil fuels, either natural gas or petroleum, which is refined and put in cars, pollute very little. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's minuscule. The availability of natural gas, a lot of coal plants have been converted over to natural gas, which is fine. I think coal's good too. I think coal is a resource that should be used.
Absolutely, you're right.
Let's stick to petrochemicals for a second. What is produced from the burning of fuel in a car is CO2 and water. That's it. And the CO2, people have to understand, CO2 is not a pollutant. It is plant food. The more CO2 you get, the more plant you inherently create. Greenhouses use CO2 to induce plant growth. Why do you think they have CO2 generators in greenhouses? Because it's plant food. It's not a pollutant. And I think people have to understand it. So the third factor that you're bringing up here, Dave, which is important to recognize, the green economy is a fiction. It benefits a handful of countries. One of them is not the United States. And oh, by the way, I don't know how the left will somehow live with itself, encouraging kids, some younger than 8 years old, literally mining on their hands and knees cobalt and lithium out of mines in Central Africa. How that is ethically correct. And then giving those resources to China to refine and then import here at great expense and destruction of labor, since they're building these components overseas, nobody here benefits. And yet somehow we're supposed to believe this green economy using batteries that are created by child labor, by abusive acts, is somehow benefiting the planet. Are you kidding me? And so how is it we've allowed the left to dominate this argument when everything in this debate shows that they are the ones wrong? Not only wrong, they're criminally liable for essentially destroying the lives of children in a third world.
Mm-hmm. Toxic chemicals are in these ponds where they're doing the mining, and it literally is it causing health issues in these children. But the one thing I want to mention is we had the inflation, and there are so many things, as you say, to unpack here. The Inflation Reduction Act really had many of the Green Deal, falsely named Inflation Reduction Act, where there are all these stimulus and all of these regulations, but also funding by the taxpayers of the United States. While we already have a fiscal cliff that's looming, we have all of these subsidies going to corporations that could just as easily produce natural gas in a plentiful way. Instead, they want us to create green natural gas and then subsidize it because it doesn't have a free market ability to compete in the private sector. So, right. That's one of the biggest problems. The second problem is when you take natural gas and then convert it to hydrogen, when it's burned, it still produces something called water vapor. Well, right. when we look at water vapor, we realize many people aren't aware that water vapor is the number one greenhouse gas. And it's over 96% of the greenhouse gas.
Yeah.
And it also has, on the spectrum of energy absorption, a much broader spectrum of energy absorption than any other. But we want to know, water vapor isn't bad. Even as liquid, water is great. It gives life to our planet. The two things that give life to the planet are water vapor and CO2. Mm-hmm. And that's sunlight and our atmosphere. With all of those minerals in the soil, no matter how many minerals in the soil, it's only atmospheric CO2 that is absorbed by the plants that is what, as you said, is nutrition, is food, and it's the building block of all life. Carbon, if you ever see a structure of a molecule, there are a lot of dots that come to points. Well, those points are where the carbon molecules are. So if you see OH, if you see hydrogen, all of those elements, if you see sulfur, all of those points, though, are the carbon. Carbon is the greatest structural backbone of carbohydrates, proteins, fats, including nucleic acids. The building blocks of all life come from carbon dioxide.
That's a good point.
The second thing I want to mention regarding thanks, Elizabeth. I appreciate that.
that works.
The second thing I want to point out is that when we balance energy and we balance it on the backs of Americans, as well as those people around the world who have too little of it, what happens is that they can't have those productive jobs. They can't feed their families. They can't even have running water.
Yeah.
And so when you burn hydrogen, you're still creating water vapor. So you're going through all these machinations, and then you still get back to the same
byproduct
results, which is water vapor and carbon dioxide. And here's something else. There was a study done, and it's being buried under a blanket by Google, that came out and said that the fugitive emissions of hydrogen at these hydrogen plants that are producing hydrogen from natural gas are actually very injurious to our atmosphere, because then our atmospheric chemistry and the breakdown of certain pollutants in the atmosphere can't be done, because hydroxyl groups that would then pick up these pollutants are no longer there, because the hydrogen collects with those free radicals. I know this is getting a little deep in the woods, but it's equivalent to anywhere from 16 to 35 units of carbon dioxide. So it's a greater pollutant when it escapes, and you can't hold the genie in the bottle. There's never a perfect pump. There's never perfect connections. And these are the things that the American public doesn't hear from the media. These are the things that are going to destroy our ability to be productive while the Chinese take advantage of all of the fossil fuels, including the least expensive that you have no problem with, Tony, and that's coal. Yeah. And while we're seeing the destruction of our industrial capacity, especially in Europe, where we saw Russia shut down the natural gas and go to war with Ukraine, helped be facilitated because of the Biden administration's failures.
Yeah.
We now see the destruction of industrial capacity. And where does that industrial capacity go? It goes directly to China.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I
think it's going to China, apparently.
But this is the issue. I think it's important that we take a moment and focus on the very thing you just said. So I do believe, Dave, that the primary interests of the parties at war in Ukraine is all about energy. You're talking about the Black Sea and the Donbass, massive reserves. And that's why I think Barack Obama and Victoria Nuland and those knuckleheads decided to do the Maidan revolution, because fundamentally they want to move Ukraine out of the influence of the Soviet Union, or that's a slip, the Russian Republic, into the sphere of the EU. And that's what that's all about. So, but back on the premise of the overall use of it's not just about fossil fuels. There's other adequate and almost nearly indefinitely renewable resources. One of them is nuclear. I'm a big fan of nuclear as a guy that's got an actual degree in environmental studies. Part of my degree work was drawing from memory a nuclear power plant, everything, how it works and everything. And by the way, nuclear is by far the safest method of generating energy by far, despite all the drama of Chernobyl and all this other stuff and Three Mile Island, by far, by a high percentage. Once you get a nuclear plant up, it's well regulated. It is able to continue to produce power. More people die every year looking for natural gas and fossil fuel. No, that's a bad, I mean, hydrocarbon fuel, than they do in the nuclear industry by far. So I think it's time we take a step back and look at what a practical range of energy options should be established at the policy level to actually create conditions for the American public to basically live with very inexpensive energy. Would you agree with that, Dable, as an overall policy direction?
Absolutely right. Everything should be on the table, whether it's underground or above us. Yeah, as Chris Van Hollen used to say, I want everything up on, you know, above board. Well, he always said that, I think, to let people know he was really against the fossil fuel industry. And I know hydrocarbon industry, as you would like to say.
Right.
So there's so much to our ability to produce this. But if we look recently, this is especially, as you just started to mention, about our international relations and our ability to maintain our relationships with our allies. And the Biden administration just put a prohibition on all permits for LNG export. And speaking of playing into the hands of the Iranians and into Qatar, this is one of the biggest problems that we have right now. Qatar is one of the largest and was the largest producer of LNG.
Yep.
And when the United States, it's just coming online, this is a new venture for us. First of all, the State Department was restricting the number of LNG liquefaction plants all across the country. They've restricted pipelines, not just the Keystone XL pipeline, but the pipelines that would take what is equivalent to the Permian Basin for oil, which is the Marcellus Basin for natural gas.
Yeah.
And seeing environmental groups have standing when they shouldn't have had any standing whatsoever to shut down natural gas pipelines from what is now, everyone understands in the energy industry, the Marcellus Shale Formation is now stranded gas. It can't get out because the pipelines are so restricted relative to their volume of capacity and the Biden administration preventing those things from being brought online, those pipelines from being brought online. And then we have environmental groups that stop the delivery of natural gas to the shortest distance to the shore, which is the East Coast. We only have one or actually two now. There's one also down in the South. But Lusby, Maryland has a liquefaction plant. Governor Ehrlich was smart enough when we had high natural gas prices and shortages.
All right, Dave, we're running out of time. Unfortunately, we're going to have to probably curtail even Tony's.
We'll take out Tony's take.
We should definitely actually have another follow-up show because it's a lot of good information. But it's, but the thing is, though, I think the audience has to understand that they're going to have a number of things available to them to create conditions for economic and success based on energy. So, Chris, come on, we can do at least one Tony's take real quick.
I have one, and Tony's takes are powered by Sig Sauer, never settle. So we'll settle for this one. Okay, I have to pick between some of these things. How about this one? During the women's NCAA basketball tournament, the LSU team left the court before the national anthem was played, while Iowa stayed on. After the backlash, LSU coach, the coach, tried to tell reporters she didn't know what was going on. At least LSU lost. But because most of the activists on your campus are fools, lady, we are not. What's your take, Tony?
So I think they were told that one of the reruns of The View was going on in the locker rooms. I had to go back and watch that. I
mean,
who cannot miss the comedy
Joy Behar,
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah,
did you see Whoopi Goldberg actually said Joe Biden should arrest Republicans? That should she change her name from Whoopi Goldberg to Whoopi Hitler? I think the Whoopi Hitler thing would be a better thing for her. What do you think?
Her real name is Karen, by the way.
That's right.
It's very fitting.
That's true. Well, that's so true. Anyway, well, we got to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks very much. If anybody wants to go to my website, it's davewallace.us. Davewallace.us. I would appreciate all of your strong listeners who believe in our message of freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Go to my website, davewallace.us. I'd appreciate it if they would slam down their finger on the donate button.
All of our listeners are strong, Dave. So let's hope they all show up and we'll do that. So that's good. I got one more thing I got to say real quick. Oh, yeah. And we'll promote your website, DaveWallace.us. We'll get you out there. Thank you, Dave, for being here. One more thing real quick. We got to talk about Swiss America one more time. Everybody wants to have a silver lining to their cloud, right? But we can help you do that. The rising political and economic uncertainties that we face, market volatility, everything else we have to deal with, Swiss America can help. We recommend that you all look at silver half dollars by Swiss America at the amazing price of just $13.50 each delivered. That's right, $13.50 each delivered. Limit $250 per customer while supplies last. I recommend everybody have a certain amount of fungible cash, fungible things that will help in case things break down. Come on, you're not going to be able to break $2,000 gold piece, right? So you need silver. So this is a great option. Put silver in your portfolio now. So contact Swiss America at 800-289-2646. Again, at Swiss America, 800-289-2646. Put silver in your portfolio now. Again, it's call Swiss America or do it online. It's at SwissAmerica.com, SwissAmerica.com, or call 800-289-2646 and mention that we, the Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer, sent you. All right, that's it for today. It's been a great show. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Elizabeth. Dave, great seeing you. Look
great
forward to hearing
all.
Back
Thank
how
you.
Things go. We want to talk more about energy and how to obtain sustainable energy and resources for the American people, for our prosperity as a nation, our protection as a nation. So again, that's it for the Hard Truth this week. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.